Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 5, Episode 20, The One Who Will Save Us All. We're going to be breaking down the episode, talking about how both hilarious and scary Graviton is, talking about the Confederacy, and of course, talking about that awesome showdown between Yo-Yo and Daisy. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Jesse, you've changed.
I know. Sorry.
This is how he gets around death.
This is my disguise.
You think you know a person, right?
Yeah, this is how Jesse's trying to get away from me battling Jesse to the death, knowing that likely I would not strike.
Now,
another Jesse.
Now, because she's in this chair, does that mean you're going to fight her to the death by the time the show is done?
Yes.
Okay. Good to know where we all stand. Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome back to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Let's not waste any time. Let's go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, as you guys might have noticed, is not Jesse Klein, but you guys can check in with him at JessKlein1 on Twitter. But instead, to my left, Rachel Goodman.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, Rachel Goodman. And we're doing the Twitter stuff later now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm glad to be back on the panel again.
You won't be when I battle you.
I'm prepared.
To the death.
Well,
I enjoy the Jesse on the show. Not the Jesse's here. The other Jesse's also here. But I am Taron, literally. And here's the thing I want to bring up with the not Jesse.
Uh-huh.
You're not safe. I just want to let you know that, as we saw in the episode.
That's true. As we learned with Infinity
No
War,
one's safe.
No one is safe. And go ahead.
Oh, just half the panel right now could disappear.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to
happen.
No
one's safe, Michael.
Michael / Taron's left, we have Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys. Graviton is... It's Graviton.
Graviton.
Full on Graviton.
You never want to go full Graviton, but...
No, go all the way Graviton. If you're going to do it, might as well just... Yeah, and they committed. They committed... In a big way.
They really, really did. And I'm Megan Salinas. Guys, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel. We've got Zach has you guys covered on the live chat for all of you watching live on YouTube right now. I'm going to go ahead and say right here and now, guys, if you haven't had the chance to watch Infinity War, I'm really sorry, but this is an official spoiler alert because we're going to be talking about Infinity War implications, since we now know for sure that this is going on concurrently with Infinity War. We are not going to be holding back on Infinity War spoilers.
Everybody dies. If you haven't watched Infinity War, everybody dies. Everyone. Do you know anyone you liked on the Marvel Universe? They're dead. Oh, you like Spider-Man? Dead. Spider-Man? Oh,
what are you, Guardians Tom Holland?
Dead. Everyone's dead. Everyone's dead.
It's easier to say who didn't die if you're looking at the poster of the movie.
Everyone died. Yeah. Everyone died.
So, spoiler alert has been given.
Spoiler alert.
Moving forward, you're half right.
Dumb tish. Okay, guys. So, as Zach pointed out, they definitely committed in a big way in this episode. What are our initial thoughts? Because I thought this was a really, really solid episode.
I enjoyed this. I really like the villain stuff they're building. I'm not 100% sure how I feel about the whole Confederacy thing. I almost wanted him to just wipe them out in that moment. That would have been more satisfying to me if I guess we can't really call him Talbot at this point. Like, he is beyond being Talbot. It's just Graviton played by Adrian Pastar.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a good way.
I would have loved if Graviton just walked in there and just whomped all of them. and then we moved forward from there.
You are a disturbed person.
Just a little.
Womped all of them. Okay, first of
sure,
all...
Sure, that's what Taron said he should have done. Anyway.
Yes, I did. But when the other Jesse says it, it throws me off. I'm not used to being in agreeance with the mortal. And also, I would like to say that A, Graviton...
Ton.
No. Graviton.
Why do you like adding R's to names that don't have R's in them? Or extra.
He's trying to say that he's Graviton, but we all know that Graviton is my child after 4 years.
No. It's you've been wanting, this is the thing, secretly you've been wanting for me to be on the show. And now I am. Here's the interesting thing. First of all, I must say, as a black person, hearing Confederacy always scares me. I would also like to say that Gravitron is becoming an amazingly good villain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's the scariest of all villains. The villain that does not know that they are a villain. A lot of times, villains come into play that are aware of their villainous schemes.
And they revel in it, yeah.
And the whole thing is, too, it kind of is mirroring Thanos in a way, too. A lot of the dialogue on the show, on this week's show, was kind of, like, with Fitz and everything, saying, well, Fritz saying, okay, well, a couple people dying, it's okay. If we save millions of others, it's echoing everything happening with Infinity War. Graviton, though, just the way that the actor is playing him, he went from, I don't know, that gray area character who was generally good, to his head just got, whew. And he really committed with the scar and the robe and, you know, Coulson, not a robe guy, but...
Not everybody's a robe person.
Yeah.
That line, Teron really felt that.
What
line.
Kind of pretentious narcissist just goes around wearing a robe?
Yeah.
The kind that saves the world.
And he's one of the, he wants to go down and help the Avengers now too.
Okay, yes. We're going to be talking about definitely Graviton's portrayal, like his characterization in this episode for sure. But like the fine line that he was walking between comedic relief and full-on scary supervillain, I feel like this show played it perfectly. And I was really digging this episode.
Well,
but
I can appreciate that fine line.
For sure.
Supervillain and comedic relief.
Between supervillain and comedy.
I think that a very big element was that Gravitron wants more power.
Oh, it hurts me every time. Go
That's
ahead.
That's how I feel
this
about
is,
all
is
of you.
What a troll looks like, guys.
Yep.
That's racist. Listen, I feel that Gravitron every time mentions that he wants more power in order to help the planet. That's the thing that's the scariest. And I liked how you pointed out that it's very Thanos-esque.
Yeah, because he thinks
Tyrannos,
he's saving the universe.
As we were calling it last
time. But it's just, it's that ability. He has the ability to crush. Right now, it's just people. But he's just doing that with, like, no effort at all. Like, you can only imagine if he attempted to, like, crush the moon.
Oh,
like,
man.
Would he be able to pull off a Thanos-level, like, moon... Yeah. Crushing.
I feel like
with
that's,
his power.
I feel like that's a possibility.
I mean,
sure.
If we take Graviton at like comic book heights of like where his power can go, then yes, he could probably bring the moon down to the Earth. And so he immediately gets the most inflated
that's
head.
Of him.
he can give you the moon.
He literally could just
fly
give you the moon.
Fly me to the moon. It's not going to take very long. Well, before we get too far into things, really quick, we have a quick announcement for you guys. If you guys want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, boy, do we have a podcast for you.
Conversations with Maria Menounos. Podcast and radio show, which I was on this week, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. It's amazing. It was so much fun. Maria is a joy. It's teaching, it's learning, it's preaching, it's reaching, it's everything that you want in a podcast. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you didn't even know you wanted. You didn't even know. You were like, oh man, I thought my life was fine. But then you find out, no, you need Maria in your life. We all do, actually. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. That's my favorite part. Be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know it was us. We sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out. I was on it twice this week. So much fun. We did a show Tuesday and Thursday, and it was just great.
And for those who haven't checked it out yet,
it drops Friday, of course.
Do you want to tease a little bit of what you guys talked about?
No.
Okay, you guys will have
it's
to
so
tune
good.
In.
Well,
to
we
find
okay,
out.
Fine. We talked about world domination. If you must know. World domination, and now Maria is part of Toronto. And it is the truth.
So. Let's be honest. You're part of Maria's entourage.
Well, actually, I have an Instagram video that says otherwise, Other Jesse.
So, guys, again, we would not be here getting to talk about the show if it wasn't for Kevin and Maria's support.
100%.
So it means a lot when you guys support the people who support us in return. So thank you guys so,
and
so
rate,
much.
And make sure to rate and subscribe. Just make sure you rate and subscribe and share and click and say, hey, they told us to go watch it.
And we did.
Because so, we love Tehran.
Thank you, guys.
Michael. I don't know who this Tehran person is.
I don't know. I'm still digging Megan Jr. as a name.
I thought it was Greta Tehran.
Thank you, not the Jesse.
I hate it because it's a pun, but like that's not bad. I kind of, you know, there, okay, there. It hurt, but okay, we're moving on. Speaking of Graviton, we were talking about the characterization in this episode, and I just the inflated ego that we were discussing. It was so funny watching the superhero or supervillain, formerly known as Talbot, go back and forth between, acting kind of like a pretentious old school superhero and being straight up villainous. And like every time they threw in like a little term like snowflakes or like what is this, a room full of Democrats, like I just kind of like shrink away from the television a little bit, like, okay, Talbot, let's ease the brakes a little bit.
They're trying to remind you that as much as we've sympathized with Talbot this season, like we've seen like
that he's a Republican that's actually kind of what they insinuated, which is I don't know,
not just I guess
like
a little
humor,
but
It did. I feel like it's just a bit much.
But we did when we met him, he was a political extremist, like, yes, towards that side. And this is a reminder that he's not a lovable good guy. He never really was. He was like, he's better than like, if he was he's not Hydra or anything. He's not out for world domination.
Let's make sure there's a difference between Republicans and Hydra, no, right? So he can still be a lovable Republican and have a different political affiliation or view.
A foil to the agents, sure, of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a long time.
Yes.
And they are very quick to point that out in this episode.
Well, that's the thing, is that he has had moments where you didn't like him, but he was never, like, he was always that guy that you didn't like who did things that kind of pissed you off. But then he would turn around and do something that you're like, all right, this guy's actually pretty good. And even the last couple of episodes, but just his ego, the way that it inflated, and he was just, he got out of that machine and he was like, yeah, I am the savior. It is my responsibility to save all of humanity. I am, you know, I'm part of the Avengers because I am that good and I'm Earth's last hope.
I agree with not the Jesse. I agree with not the Jesse. I feel like before we didn't like him, but now we love him, right? Yeah. We all love him. I love this Graviton.
I love how he referred to himself as Earth's mightiest hero,
the Shield.
But that's the thing, is like, it's not just Talbot in there anymore. Like, this is Talbot, Franklin, Dr. Franklin Hall, Ian Quinn,
potentially Ruby.
I want to say that the fact that he, like, basically he
and
just
Quavo,
like,
or whatever
he
the name,
her.
What's the name of the Migos Confederacy person? Quavo?
yeah, I did not catch it.
Crixon.
I wrote it down because I was like, okay, Estella, Crixon, Papa Cassius.
Redress, there's a bunch of them.
That would be Tehran's uncle then, right?
Because you're cousins with Cassius.
Cassius, that's actually disturbing.
He's really processing that.
For those of you listening on iTunes, switch it over to YouTube and you'll see Tehran processing something.
But all those people are now in there in some form. So the fact that it's Talbot's face, I wonder how much of the fact that we seem to be like referring to this as Talbot, he's stopped referring to calling himself Talbot. Is this, I know this is very confusing. Is there anything, is the front Talbot, or is it just an amalgamation of everyone?
It's hard. I feel like for the most part, Glenn is still in the driver's seat, so to speak, but it's hard to say because he's working on, as Gemma points out at the beginning of the episode, with that much gravitonium, with those other consciousnesses inside of him, and also the fact that he had a brain injury and suffered months of trauma, like, he's due for a psychotic break at any moment now.
It's almost like Fritz versus Fitz. He, even though it's a different circumstance, different, you know, different way that he ended up there, it is Talbot, but it's like this really different...
It's all the dark parts of Talbot that have finally come to the surface.
Well, the difference is, like, you have Franklin Hall, who, if you remember the episode from season one, had very... like, he saw his work as world-changing. He had a big ego himself. So you have the ego of Franklin Hall. You have the ego of Ian Quinn, who thought nothing but the highest about himself.
Yeah.
And Talbot, who has this natural sense of, I want to save the world, all smashed into one person.
And now this member of the Confederacy in there as well. Yeah, this is just a bunch of egomaniacs in there.
And it's kind of hard to see if it's... Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I appreciate all these personalities all in one person. It's an interesting way to look at it. I wonder, we haven't seen a conflict, and I wonder if it's going to come up is when Gravitron has an argument with himself in the third person in front of others.
Somebody fights for control.
Exactly. Because right now it does seem that it's a Talbot-driven Gravitron.
Yeah,
because
he refers to Ian Quinn just told me. As if they were separate people.
What's interesting... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we've only seen the perspective, I think, from... I don't know if it was even Ruby or someone else who was had the Gravitron.
From a Creel.
Yeah,
yes.
So we kind of heard... Yeah, that's right. So we heard, like, what it sounds like when someone can't handle it. But with him, with Talbot, I want to know if he's able to actually converse with these people, or if he, maybe he's the leader and he's basically telling them, okay, well, this is what we're going to do here.
Well, he is a military man. He's like, if you throw in his personality and consciousness in there, like, you do kind of get the sense that he would be like, okay, you two, opposite sides of the room, I'm in charge now. But it is kind of interesting to note that, yeah, we're not hearing the noise of inner conflict anymore. I feel like as more consciousnesses are added to Graviton, like, a sort of collective is forming, and or there's just more of a buffer between Quinn and Hall, and they're like, good, I don't have to talk to him anymore.
I think there's only one more consciousness being added, because if you remember the picture that was drawn by, what's her name?
Robin.
Whatever. It was six personalities.
There were more than that.
And I thought there was six little tornado things with personalities. But there's more?
Yeah, if somebody has the screen
cap. The
right
number. But there's a whatever that number is the amount of people that are going to be inside.
It makes it look like, according to Robin's vision, that, yeah, more people are going to get added to the collective by the time we're done.
Gravitron doesn't have healing powers, right? So a gunshot to the head would effectively kill him?
Well, what I was thinking is that he would have the power to stop the bullet.
But if he didn't see the bullet coming. So a bullet, it's not like he's all aware and can tell everything. He's not omniscient. So
unless,
if a bullet to the head from behind.
That could work unless the gravitonium that's inside of him can work autonomously. And just like if it senses that there's a danger to its current host, it could potentially protect him, even if he's not aware of the danger.
It's also like we saw his hand turn into pure gravitonium. Yeah. Who's to say he even functions like a human being? He refers to himself as not human in this.
Yeah.
Like, he might just be taking the form of a human. It might, like, that body might, like, he may not need organs the same way anymore.
Interesting. Ooh. And then how come no one, when they went to the future, how come no one said, oh yeah, and then Thanos? Like, no one. They knew all about Daisy. They were like, Daisy, the destroyer of worlds, and no one mentioned, oh yeah, and what about the Michael Jackson god guy with the glove? It was a gauntlet or something? Like, someone should have mentioned, because they've just gone through this.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, destroyer of worlds is Thanos' comic book, like, nickname, or like his title. Like, he's Thanos, destroyer of worlds. So I feel like part of the reveal coming is going to be that was Thanos. But we know from Infinity War that that's not what he did. And I don't think that the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. people necessarily, like, know Avengers 4. enough to like play into it, but I don't know that like we know that Thanos doesn't destroy the planet. So
that's the question.
And then, you would think that people in the Avengers would notice the destroyed planet.
I mean, I just kind of
that's what I mean.
Like, but that's why the first half of the season was problematic anyway, because we know the Earth can't end up that way. So we still, even now, like now that we're dealing with all the fallout of all this, we know it's going to be okay.
Actually, after Infinity Wars, we realized we don't know anything. We thought we were going to get a Hulk from the preview, and we didn't. I mean, here's the thing. We don't know anything. We don't. At this point, I don't even know.
Well, at the very least, by the end of Infinity War, which we're a few days behind that, because I think Infinity War took place over about a week.
Yeah.
So we're right before the start, right before Infinity War, or right at like the very beginning of the movie.
It just happened.
Yeah.
So the New York happened.
Happening concurrently.
That's kind of what I get.
So, we know more or less within the next two episodes, the planet will not be destroyed because the feature film universe has not destroyed the world.
And that's the other thing is we only have after this episode, we only have two episodes left this season.
And that's what I was kind of curious about the whole time this was happening, because we knew from Infinity War that they were still on Earth. So for the Earth to be quaked, I just think that the Avengers somehow would step in before that would happen, even though...
Well, most of them are not there.
But there are still some Avengers, and I just feel like with something that large, they would probably step in if they could. I don't know, maybe...
I just love that there are two alien invasions going
I think we're going to stay...
Earth really bad luck.
Well, what they set up here with the Confederacy was that wasn't necessarily an accident, which I appreciate. It wasn't just a coincidence that another set of aliens happened to show up. They knew Thanos was coming, and they decided to use that to their own end.
It is hilarious. Go ahead.
Cassius was even saying, oh, the Earth's not just a random gem anymore. Thanos has control, so now it matters to us.
I absolutely loved when Graviton is in the Confederacy's meeting, and he's just... They basically come clean, and they're like, oh, yeah, no, that was a lie. We 100% were lying to you. We were just exploiting your resources.
Before Thanos
shows up. Sorry.
And he was so calm and, like, I don't know, like, theater-y about it, too, when he was talking. It was,
you know, I love the idea of, was his name Tarion?
Tarion,
I think that's how they pronounced
Tehran.
It. Papa Cassius. I just love the idea of him and Talbot, like, bonding over being dads. Just like, I'm a dad too. I totally get you. I'm on your level, man.
Yeah, as soon as that guy walked in, I was like, oh, okay.
Hey, Papa Cassius. And then the first thing, of course, that he does is throw his fellow Confederacy member under the bus just to see what happens.
He's the raptor throwing other raptors against the fence.
Pretty much.
I mean, a little more evolved than that, but...
It's not an inaccurate statement, though. But yeah, I love the way that they incorporated Thanos coming to Earth and how the Confederacy played into that when it came to Hydra.
What did you guys think, robe jokes aside, of the Graviton outfit that the aliens put on him?
I feel like he owned that outfit, number one. And just the fact that he had scars and the hair was all done up, it really, if we didn't know Talbot was different, we knew he was different after that.
I just love that he has a full-on evil beard, like an evil goatee now. I loved it. I know that you were talking last week about how it is the Graviton costume. I thought the way again, this
it's
is what
pretty
I,
close. Like yeah. they it's the Marvel like thing to get it like do an homage, but like make it fit within the universe that we're playing with. Like he didn't just put on a spandex outfit. They made an excuse for him to put on this spandex
looks
outfit.
Weird, right? And he's relying on his wingman. How do I look? And this is what I'm talking about in terms of like balancing the comedy with the actual menace of a person with ultimate power who's kind of mentally unstable. Just like playing into it. His interactions with Phil in this episode were just on point. And again, worked as great levity in what was a very dramatic situation.
he called Quovas, I think. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. He called him Chuckles.
Yeah.
That was my favorite line from this episode. Come on, Chuckles.
I was surprised he didn't honestly just, like, kill that guy immediately. Like, you're talking about asserting dominance. I guess he maybe thought he needed him.
Yeah, because they had to get there first and foremost. And two, Quovas had already kneeled to him. And also talk about, like, a very creepy moment at the very beginning of the episode, just making everyone kneel to him after he turns that guy into a pretzel. Just like, ugh.
The scene with
Loved Coulson. It.
Coulson kneeling. That was pretty powerful because now we know, like, that was kind of the break in that point when they went from kind of friends, kind of having this companionship, to suddenly no, he, Calvet, yeah, sees him as an inferior.
Talking about sort of the climax of this whole conflict coming to a head, we have Hale thrown into the mix here, and we were talking before the show about how
she was thrown somewhere.
No, it's fine. She's dead now. But, like, throughout the season, you have a hard time getting a fix on sort of where she stands. Does she represent Hydra? Is she in it for herself? Is she in it for her daughter? It was kind of hard to tell who or what she was fighting for all this time. And here, you know, she has nothing left, is where we're seeing her when she's gets reintroduced to Coulson at the, you know, probably midway through this episode.
Well, the whole thing with Hale is that obviously she's had her moments where we, you know, the audience hasn't liked her. But I feel like in the very end, she redeemed herself because she stepped up and she tried to, you know, one more thing to see if that, you know, she could get Talbot to actually, you know, I guess, maybe to get to the point where she could control him just for a moment so he wouldn't hurt anyone. That, to me, said enough about her. Just, you know, seeing her backstory, I actually feel bad for her because she grew up in this environment with Hydra. She was a young kid. I feel like she was in a place where she was vulnerable and easily brainwashed. Yeah. And because she grew up with it, she turned into this woman. She lost her daughter. And in the very end, she still did the right thing and lost her life while doing it. Yeah. So.
I see, but okay, so she's not like a stripper for hire. This is, it's not, all you're saying, I get what you're saying, but this isn't like, she went in, she, first of all, I've always said there's a communication problem in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If Hale had just been like, hey, we have this alien invasion, instead of making this secret deal that no one knows about with this group of aliens, why don't I just tell the Avengers what's going to happen? Maybe we wouldn't be at the, let's create a chamber that we can create Gravitron in, that we get the wrong person to become Gravitron, which ends with the world being destroyed. So people need to communicate. I don't know what the chain of command exactly is here. I get that she's had a tough life. Who hasn't, you know? I spent my time with Hydra. Look at me, I'm fine. What I'm saying is we could have figured this out. This was a team effort.
In fairness, she did try to reach out to S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, that was how we got introduced to her. It was her being like, not that she did it necessarily the right way, but she did try to bring S.H.I.E.L.D. in. Like, hey, you should help me take down these aliens. She just did some evil stuff at the same time, like kidnapping Talbot.
You know, a really nice, instead of all that, a really nice email, maybe, or...
Part of why she was so relentless at the start of this season was because the people she needed, in her mind, to reach out to in order to team up against this alien invasion disappeared off the face of the earth, and no one could find them. So she spends a good chunk of the season hunting them down, and then, you know, we get that confrontation. I will say, I don't necessarily agree with the notion that she's redeemed at the end for trying to do the right thing, because that came right on the heels of her throwing Coulson under the bus. And maybe that was just her waiting for the opportune moment to be able to get Talbot to comply. But, like, I even wrote in my notes, I was like, cool, thanks, Hale. Like, the second she threw him under the bus.
Yeah. And sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, too, you mentioned something about the wrong person becoming Gravitron. I feel like there is
he's got
no
you
right.
doing it now.
I feel like there's no right person to be Gravitron, and that even if Ruby had ended up going the full 100%, that might have been just as scary in a different way.
I feel like the right person.
Yeah. I feel like Gravitonium's gonna Gravitonium. Yeah. I feel like maybe it seems like Talbot's in the driver's seat, but maybe it's actually just Gravitonium itself that's behind the wheel.
It also may be that Talbot had a stronger goal that he was working towards, and so like the amalgamation of all of the people in there is focused because they're going towards his goal. But if Ruby got it, her goal would be like, I want to destroy the world so I could, or I want to kill, I want to kill Quake, like something like that.
Yeah. That's an excellent point.
That was a good, there were a couple good fights that we should talk about. Daisy and
We need to talk about iTunes real quick before we run too short on time. But folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our aforementioned producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. And honestly, it's sort of a weekly highlight to just get to hear your guys' thoughts and predictions and theories. And there are a couple familiar faces that pop up in the iTunes comments sometimes. So it really does mean a lot. And if you guys do leave a comment, you might even get a shout out on the show. Do we happen to have any new ones this week?
We do. I was just checking dates because I couldn't remember what week ago is. And it's the beginning of the month.
What is time?
You guys got us over 700 ratings. Woo-hoo! On iTunes. So thank you so much. 655 star reviews.
So, real quick, as an aside, before we read off some comments, I saw on the Hear It After Buzz, they had a top 10 list of most downloaded of After Buzz podcasts, and we were number 7 earlier this week.
We are failures.
Anyway, while Tehran,
thank you for getting us in the top 10.
While Tehran mopes, thank you to Prodigal 358 for always writing in. Thank you to the Eighth Koenig brother for writing in, and thank you to Artemis 9991 who says, I just want to say I always love your enthusiasm and positivity.
Aw, thank you guys. You guys are the best.
You guys are the best. Eighth Koenig brother, 7 ahead of you. We know how that feels.
So thank you guys again. Hopefully if you guys haven't already done so, please get those iTunes comments in now so that we can read them before the season finale. Thank you guys so much. All right, Tehran, you were talking about awesome fight
the fights. So we had a Yo-Yo Daisy fight, amazing. Then we had a Daisy Gravitron fight, amazing. And then we had, I think those were the two fights.
Those were the
and then
two
we had the Deke and Daisy fight, which
that was so sad.
That was the most heartbreaking of them all.
Lemons. Decimated his emotions.
Yeah.
She did everything you're not supposed to do on a first date. She talked about an ex.
Being
she downplayed
with him
still. What gift was brought. And then,
Coulson
and
is
look,
the most
I know there's an argument that goes on. That happens if there is a such thing as a friend zone. And one of the things is that it's unfair for any man to think that any woman owes them anything because of their friendship. However, if you take the friend zone and make it gender neutral and it's anyone in a relationship that likes someone that doesn't like them back, well, welcome to the friend zone. You were friend the F zone.
I very much appreciated the disclaimer you yeah, let's talk about Deke in this episode.
There's no Quake, I'll tell you that.
So, okay, first of all, he was like, okay, I'm going to tell her. And then she goes through all of this. Coulson's the most important person to me.
Not just Coulson. Lincoln Washington, or Abraham Lincoln, whatever that guy's name.
She breaks down over her ex in front of him. If there's ever a sign that's like, dude, do not make the move right now.
But like, P.S., didn't you have something to tell me? Oh yeah, Fitzsimmons are my grandparents.
Like, what a great save, right? That was such a great save on his part. Like, way to save face.
Cat's out of the meal bag.
Do they know? Yeah, it's real weird.
What did he say? What is it called?
Why would it be weird?
Did he say food sack?
Yeah, the cat. Out of the food sack.
lemons.
I absolutely adore
what Daisy's call. Like, what she used some weird word about, like, this, some blank left this these lemons.
Some creep put a bunch of lemons on my bed.
Was it just creep? I thought she said something weirder.
And she's like, and he's like, that sounds like classic Fitz. That sounds like classic Fitz pulling a prank.
In a way, it is classic Fitz.
It is. I'm just picturing the look on Deke's face when he probably came across all these lemons in, like, the food storeroom. He was like, oh my gosh, I hit the jackpot. How many is appropriate? Normally you only do one. Well, I like her a lot. I'm going to get all the lemons I possibly can.
I would have loved to be the cashier during that transaction.
It's just a bunch of lemons. I'm sure people have bought bags of lemons before, but I will tell you one thing that we need to realize about Deke is that his character was developed the most in this one specific episode. Now, we've seen flashes of Deke throughout the season, especially flashes of him in different parts of his personality and his characteristic and his skill set. But in this one, we realize that not only is he truly Fritz's grandson in the way he's able to quickly and efficiently fix the network, but we also see him make statements, and I do always have the theory that the writers watch our show and come back, because you see the statements that we were making about Deke in the last couple, and by we, I mean me, where I was saying that Deke isn't an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's not a trained agent.
Almost
He's
word still for word, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a situation where he does feel underappreciated in the situation, and that he doesn't know why he's still there. And the perspective that he says that, I'm in the future, I've only been on the lighthouse to travel back in the past and to only be stuck in this lighthouse. Yeah. I don't have to be here. You guys have to be here. I shouldn't even be here to begin with, and I'm always getting picked on. And we see it. A small sliver of redemption from Fritz, where Fritz makes the statement, well, it's because you have family here. Yeah. And it's because he's been picked on so much, he doesn't even recognize the immediate relation and rapport that he's talking about.
But, go ahead.
I actually feel bad for him, too, in that sense, because Fitz is not being a very good grandfather, and just the whole, maybe Gemma a little bit.
Yeah, of course he's not. Fritz would have goes for that grandfather.
Yeah,
would have hooked him up with Daisy.
We have to talk about the fact that high fives are no longer a cool thing in the future.
Yeah.
What happened, guys? Sure, the Earth got blown up, but what happens to humanity that we are no longer allowed to high five
one another? I have something to tell all of you here on this panel, and I'm sorry to break this to you people. High fives aren't cool now. Like, no one goes around and is like, high five!
It's not true. Everything that was retro is cool again. Okay. Including high fives.
Look at the people on the panel and just know.
You know what's going to happen?
Let's be honest.
You know what's going to happen? Deke's going to go back to the future and he's like, I'm bringing it back!
What is this strange move? It's retro, dude.
It's the most retro thing you could possibly do.
No, it's the most retro
also,
would be Zima.
Get those lemons out of here. Girls aren't into lemons anymore.
Also, dude, Deke, do not go back to the future. That's a terrible place to go.
Poor Deke. If Infinity War is happening concurrently, and if the end of this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ends where Infinity War ended, and half the cast turn to dust, then if one of the pair of Fitz and Simmons turns to dust, then Deke disappears. That's going to be, I don't know, maybe, I feel like maybe that's where we're going.
I mean, again, still depending on what rules we're playing with.
That's
here.
True. Yeah. I feel like, again, maybe this is better for predictions, but I feel like by the end of this season, we'll have broken the loop, but then that's when Thanos snaps his fingers. Go ahead.
I'll be so curious if anyone disappears on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they would have to follow that rule, and it wouldn't make sense that no one would disappear, and it doesn't matter whether they're in space or not, because Thanos can still, whatever he did, can still find them.
Yeah.
Technically, each one of them has 50-50 odds, so it is mathematically possible, however unlikely. We do keep introducing new interns with speaking roles, and I feel like they're just there to... Like, one of... one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. interns got upgraded to May's co-pilot, and he said one line. I was like, oh, you're going to die gone. Now, man.
Red shirt. TVs, man.
Red shirt.
Speaking of May, I know we're running short on time, but you brought up this great fight between Yo-Yo and Daisy, which, I'll be honest, I didn't think we were ever going to get to see that showdown.
It's been building up for a long time.
It has.
I feel like there's been a tension between these two for a very long time. It's not just this specific situation. The two have never, ever bonded the way you would see. If you see, like, guys on a show, it's the brother bond, or girls on a show, it's the sister bond. These two girls are definitely co-workers. There's no friendship that's been shared. They've never gone over their heartbreak love stories, what's going on with you and Mac this weekend, or any of that stuff.
It's always been weird timing because Elena joined the team right around the time where Daisy decided to say peace. They kind of got off on... started on, like, I guess weird co-worker terms, I guess is a really good way to put it. Yeah. And what's been happening this season has only been driving a wedge between the team. I mean, we see that Fitz and Mac have this really interesting discussion in which Fitz apologizes, but at the same time, he doesn't feel like any of their actions were wrong.
He pulls a Thanos. He literally says, well, killing a few is good because it's going to save many. And then I love Mac's line in that.
But it is.
Yeah. That basically, you know, hey, you should really look into your soul. Because,
to see what kind of person you turn out to be. Yeah. But how about the world that still exists because of the person that I chose not to be? That is the sign of a true hero. Someone who's willing to play the villain in order to not get the praise, but because of what happens
sounds
afterwards.
Sounds like Thanos logic to me.
It sounds like, if done correctly, this is the logic that actually prevails in the world even as we see it.
And
so it's the luxury of the privilege to not have to think about these things.
And
we live in a first world. We live in a first world where we don't think of that. That's why.
Yeah. No, it's also the logic that S.H.I.E.L.D. was mostly founded on, especially the era that, like, ignoring all the Hydra backstory, but like how Nick Fury ran S.H.I.E.L.D., like, sometimes you got to make the tough call. You got to break a few eggs. Yeah, like sometimes
An omelet.
People are gonna die if you're at war. Somebody's going to have to die, and somebody has to make the somebody's gonna fade into dust. Is that better?
Because for propaganda reasons, that's why I said eggs break.
Some people are gonna need to fade into dust if you're gonna save the rest of the world.
Fitz puts it very, very elegantly. It's not as simple. And Mac, he's like, simple is a way to leave a good life. And, you know, Fitz
They're both right.
And in the chat, I just see the hashtag Thanos was right.
And they're both wrong. They're both right and they're both wrong. And it comes down to that unfortunate situation where, depending on what side of that coin is flipped that you exist on, you think that your side is right. And it's something that plays the most part in the world we see today, is where everyone is so convinced that their side is right. And people no longer have arguments about opinions, but about people. If I disagree with you, then I must dislike you. And that's not the way that not only was this universe concocted, but our country as a whole. And that's why I really appreciate the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s take on socio-political commentary this season. It's been very good.
Yeah, in terms of discussion and discourse.
Thanos was right.
He was not right, because you have the Infinity Gauntlet, and your problem is like, oh, there aren't enough resources going on.
That's a different show.
With the Infinity Gauntlet and all the Infinity Stones, you can double the world's resources.
I have a meaning to say this somewhere, because I have a counterpoint to that argument. And like,
thank you,
they never said this on, like, in the movie. So it's not like an established rule, but a lot of times with these kinds of almost infinite power things, you can take away, like, energy or life from the universe, but you can't add to it. You can't just make more energy in the universe, especially
energy
not to double the resources. Because also, like, if you just think about Earth as itself, like, there are 7 billion people on the planet. If you doubled the resources, there's not necessarily more space for those people. That may not be true because we have a lot of dead area on this planet. That principle applied to the larger scale. You can't necessarily just double everything. So yes, there's a little bit of a hole in that they didn't outline that, but the idea that you can just double the energy mass and life of the entire universe, I think, is potentially not a possible thing, even with the Infinity Gauntlet.
That's a fair
point. I had to say that. No, I've been thinking about it all.
Let's go over
Daisy and Gravitron real quick. We didn't talk about their fight.
Well, I mean, we're sadly out of time. Point being is, I really like, if anybody's going to break up a fight between two superpowered individuals, it's going to be May.
With the gun.
Yeah.
The NRA must have loved that.
Well, not necessarily.
She was the teacher that has a gun, just to let you know.
A good guy.
Just wrap it up.
Let's do some real quick rapid fire predictions, and then we gotta get on out of here.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Oh God, please don't let Daisy come into some weird thing with Cassius's dad. That's too weird. It's too weird.
I don't know. Maybe by killing him, she can break the loop. That would be super.
I don't know. It almost felt like
Cassius is already born.
Yeah. Well, no, but like, their father's still alive in the future, I think. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I kind of feel like, too, from the teasers that we saw in the trailers, I feel like Daisy might be brainwashed. So that's kind of my prediction, is that she starts doing everything that was predicted, but she has no control over it because of whatever it is they put on her head.
Maybe.
I actually think Yo-Yo plays a big part of why what happens happens. After what I saw her go through and her conviction in a morally wrong place manifests itself in this episode, I think Yo-Yo, and that might be a big reason she leaves and goes on to the, and is so just distraught in the future, and she had no distinct voice or correct answer, because it's hard to say I'm the reason this path occurred.
I feel like, again, major prediction, I feel like the end of this season is seeing the world blown apart.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where we're at. That Thanos, we're going to see the repercussions of Thanos snapping his fingers. Half the cast is going to disappear, and then like Mac and Gemma are going to disappear, and then this season ends with the world being destroyed.
I like that prediction. I'm using my prediction time to further my point. I think that the there's a finite amount of energy in the universe. The gauntlet cannot create more, but it can pull energy in. Thus, when people turn to dust, it pulled them all into the Soul Stone. And the Power Stone can put out energy, but it's pulling it from other parts of the universe. Yeah. And
matter
so
can neither be created nor destroyed.
You cannot create that much of an imbalance as to double the resources of the universe. That is all.
And dark matter.
I like the idea of everybody who was destroyed at the end of Infinity War just being in the Soul Stone and hanging out. I like that idea. And hopefully that's how we can fix all of this. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, guys, that does it for us this week. Zach, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. If you're a big video game fan, tune into my the show that I write for Game Engine on Geek & Sundry's Twitch or ProjectAlpha.com. We air Tuesdays at 4 p.m. We've got a real ridiculous episode coming up this week, especially, I'll tease, if you're a Critical Role fan, you're not going to want to miss it.
Excellent. Taran!
At I Am Taran all across the board. It's at IAMTERAN. Also, call me Gravitaran, Taranos, and join the Tarantarage as Maria Menounos did.
Or Megan Jr. Rachel.
I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Rach Goodman, or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman. I also host the Young and the Restless After Buzz show, if I can say it right. So if you like soaps, check us out at 7 p.m. tonight.
I was going to say, that's soap? Coming up soon, right? And again, if you guys haven't already done so, please follow Jesse at JessKlein1. Tell him we miss him. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet me at the Ming one. That's THEMENGUIN. Again, if you haven't already done so, go to iTunes, rate, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Rachel, thank you so much again for filling in tonight.
Thank you. This was really fun.
Yeah, Jesse just decided he couldn't be here.
I know.
Not the
right?
Jesse.
Not the Jesse.
Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you all next week.
Maybe.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Tweet you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.